Good to see all of you. My name's Dane. In case you didn't know, I've been gone, and so I don't know you guys anymore. Hey, it's good to see you guys. I want to, first of all, before we get into the Word, I want to thank the church board. The last 2 years, the board has given me the incredible privilege to take a few weeks off during the summer. I'm trying to figure out that right there. There we go. During that time is a time of just kind of reflection and rest. But so what I would do every day is go do something fun in the morning, like golf. And I call it my counseling appointments with Steve Derrick. He needed a lot of counseling, so we did a lot of golf. And so, and then in the afternoon, I would come home and dream and pray about us as a church, direction for us for 2027. And so over the next few months, we'll be sharing with you some ideas that we have for 2027 and already planned out the sermon schedule for next year. And so I'm really excited about that. So I want to say thanks to the board for allowing me this. And I think it's good not only for me, but also for you guys, for us to get vision and direction as a church. And then I want to say thanks to Pastor Ethan and Pastor Johanna for taking on the extra workload over the last few weeks preaching. And then, like Ethan, got called last Saturday night at like 10 o'clock, Johanna saying, "I'm sick." And we, we don't know if it was Taco Bell or what, but so there was something going on there. And she got sick, really sick. I tease her, but she was pretty sick. And so Ethan, man, I listened to the sermon last week, and wow, what an amazing job he did. And excited about that. So thank you to them for that. So dude, I'm so excited. So it's been 3 weeks, so you're going to get a lot today. So that's just the way it is. So we as a church, our theme for 2026 is Live Sent. Last year, it was In Christ, which had to do with our identity, who we are in Christ. This year, it's Live Sent, what we are called to do for Christ. And Live Sent is all about, we are empowered by the Holy Spirit to go and reach the lost, specifically for our one mores. Every one of us in here knows somebody, whether a loved one or a friend, who doesn't know Jesus. And we've been challenged to pray for that one, we call them our one more, pray for one more that they would come to understand who Jesus is and surrender their lives to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. So I just want to say right now that you may be somebody's one more right now here today. And we've been praying for you and pray that God will speak into your heart and life and that you'll come to know him as we know him in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Not religion, but a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so Live Sent is the theme for our year. And so we, as a church, are now in a series through the book of Acts. And Acts is all about living sent. If you read the book of Acts, it's really a history book. It's describing the early church of how God has empowered these people, this early church, with the Holy Spirit to go out and proclaim the gospel, to live sent. In fact, the writer of the book of Acts is a guy by the name of Luke, who also wrote the gospel of Luke. It wasn't a trick question. He wrote the gospel of Luke, and this is his second book, the book of Acts. And he's actually writing it to his one more. Theophilus is who he is writing it to. So Luke was a physician, a historian, and so he is writing the accounts of what he sees in the early church of what's taking place, specifically around the Apostle Paul and how what Paul does in the early church. And so it's the story of what it means to be lived in, to live out the gospel. And so where we're at today is we are in Acts chapter 2, it starts with verse 14 through 41. And so as I was reading Acts 2, this passage, There's a lot there. And we plan out our sermon series. Okay, on this day we're going to do this. This day we're going to do this. And as I was preparing for this message, I was like, there is no way I could get all of this into one Sunday. So I split it up. This is part one. So you've got to come back next week for part two with this. And it throws off our preaching schedule for the rest of summer. So there's that. But before we get into our passage, I need to give a little bit of update of what is taking place that's leading up to Acts chapter 2 of what is taking place. So in Acts chapter 1, and I know that Pastor Ethan and Johanna preached on this the last couple weeks, but so I'm just going to give an overview of this. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus has risen from the grave. It's been 40 days since he has risen from the grave. He is with his disciples. He's with his followers. He's on this mountainside, and he's about to ascend into heaven is what is taking place. And he gives some instruction to his followers there. Corinthians alludes to that there's like 500 people there, but they're watching, they're seeing Jesus here on the mountainside, and they're wondering, all right, dude, this is it. Jesus just risen from the grave. Is it time to restore Israel as the kingdom? What you going to do, Jesus? And so this is what we read in Acts 1, verses 6 through 9. It says this, so when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria. And when he had said these things, and to the ends of the earth, and when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up on a cloud and took them out of their sight. So they come and they said, all right, Jesus, is this the time? Is this when you're going to restore the kingdom of Israel as a kingdom? He's like, that's the wrong focus right now. The focus which I want you to do is I want you to go and pray. And when you go pray, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be empowered to be a witness. And you will start by being a witness in Jerusalem, the area that they're living in right there, then Judea and Samaria, the outer parts around Jerusalem, and then to the rest of the world. So you'll be empowered to be with the Holy Spirit to be a witness, to live sent, is what we're talking about here for us. You're empowered to share the gospel with others. And so when you look at the book of Acts, which we will over the next few months, it's broken down really into those three areas. Chapters 1 through 7, all that is taking place in chapter 1 through 7 is in Jerusalem. And then 8 through 13, 14 happens to be in Judea and Samaria. And then 14 through the end of the book, 28, it follows Paul to the outermost parts of the world at that time. And so you see the Holy Spirit empowering these people to share the gospel. So Jesus then ascends into heaven, and these guys are like, all right, he tells us to go pray. Let's go pray. So they go back into Jerusalem. They're in this house, and they're in this upper room of this house, and they're praying. And it happens to be 10 days later, and it falls on a festival called Pentecost. Pentecost simply means 50th or 50. And what Pentecost was a national festival, an annual festival that the Israelites, the Jewish people, would celebrate every single year. They would celebrate Pentecost. Pentecost has to do with two things. First, it had to do with bringing in your first fruits or of the harvest into the house of the Lord, that they would bring their first fruits, this kind of like a harvest party, harvest festival, they would bring in. The second part of the festival, which was the most important part of the festival, it was a day of remembering that God spoke to Moses and gave Moses the commandments, the law. And so why it's called Pentecost or 50th is it goes all the way back into the book of Exodus. In the book of Exodus, the people of Israel are enslaved by the Egyptians, and God uses Moses to go to Pharaoh and performs 10 different plagues that comes upon the Egyptian people. The 10th plague was the plague of the angel of death passing over the Israelites, but coming upon the Egyptian people. How many know the story or seen like movies or Charlton Heston or whatever back in the day? If you raise your hand about Charlton Heston, you're old. I just congratulate you on that. There you go. I didn't mean to wake you up by that, but you are old. And I remember that, so I'm old. Off track. So they have this, what is called the Passover. And so the Passover is actually a festival that they celebrated every year as well. They were to remember that God delivered them out of slavery, passed over their homes, and brought them into the promised land. And so now Pentecost is on in Exodus, 50 days later, God leads the people through the Red Sea to this mountain called Mount Sinai. And it's on Mount Sinai that God says to Moses, come up on this mountain and I will come down to you, Moses, and I will give you the law, the commandments, and that's what takes place. He goes up on the mountain. One person goes up on the mountain and God gives him the law, the commandments. And this is known as Pentecost, 50 days after Passover. So you jump ahead thousands of years. They just celebrated the Passover, and this is where Jesus is arrested and crucified and raises again from the grave on this day of the Passover. A lot of significance there. Now it's 50 days later, there's a party going on in the town, a festival celebrating the harvest, celebrating that God came down and spoke to Moses. And so you have these guys, they're in this room in this house. They're praying because Jesus said the Holy Spirit will come and empower you. So this is what takes place in Acts chapter 2. And Ethan talked about this last week. It says this: when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as fire appeared to them and rested on each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven, and as this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language, and they were amazed and astonished, saying, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? So they got these guys, they're listening to Jesus, go up and pray. They've been praying for 10 days, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit comes upon this room. And it comes like fire upon them and wind rushing and all this stuff that takes place. And then they were empowered or filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized with the Holy Spirit, and they begin to speak. And when they begin to speak, they're speaking in a language they never learned before. It's an earthly language, and they're proclaiming the good news. So in Pentecost, in Exodus, God comes and gives Moses the word, the law. In Pentecost and Acts, God comes and infills the believers with the Holy Spirit, and they begin to preach the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And it'd be like us today, like if the Holy Spirit came upon you and all of a sudden you're able to speak Portuguese or Russian or whatever, a language you'd, I'm just guessing, not a lot of Russian speaking. There might be right here. Do you speak Russian? See, he would go, dude, you're speaking in the language of my native language. And so they're able to speak this. And so this is all taking a place right there. And then listen to the reaction of the people, because they're, as Ethan shared last week, they don't stay in the upper room. They're out in the streets. And there's thousands of people, thousands, are listening to this. And look at the reaction of the people, verse 12 and 13. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? But verse 13, but others mocking said, they are filled with new wine. So you have two responses to the people. One, there's a group of people who are amazed and perplexed. They're like, what is going on? Then you have another group of people who are saying, they're mocking and saying they must be drunk. And I listened to the sermon last week when Pastor Ethan was preaching, and he said something that was funny, and none of you laughed. And so he says, I don't drink, but I do know this, that when somebody gets drunk, they don't automatically begin to speak in a foreign language. It's not like there's some kind of supernatural wine that makes you go, wow, I suddenly know Portuguese, you know? And none of you laughed. I thought that was great insight. And so I think you need to go to Ethan today and say, Ethan, that was brilliant. You're amazing. But the point is this. The point isn't about them saying you must be drunk. We get fixated on that. That's not the point. The point was they were mocking. That's what was taking place. They were mocking these believers who are empowered with the Holy Spirit, proclaiming the gospel, proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ, and they were mocking them. They were mocking them. And so that brings us to our passage that we're going to look at today, because what happens is Peter begins to stand up and he begins to preach. It's the very first Christian sermon that we read in the book of Acts, and he begins to preach and explain what is taking place. Now, what I want you to see this is, because going back to our theme is live sent. We are to go and preach the gospel. We are go to reach our one mores. That's what we want to do. However, that's scary. Because if we're truly honest, most of us in this room, including me, are a little bit intimidated by telling others about Jesus. Whether it's fear of what they may say, fear of not having all the answers, or whatever, or just being labeled whatever you would think you might be labeled. And so there's this fear within us to step out and really tell people about Jesus. Even there's a fear of telling our loved ones about Jesus. Man, what was that old saying? At Thanksgiving dinner, don't talk about politics or religion, because you don't want it to turn into a battle or a fight or an argument. And so we clam up and we are quiet and we're not speaking out. But what I want us to see today is what happens with Peter. What he is explaining is that the Holy Spirit is the one doing the work. It's the Holy Spirit empowering us to preach. It's the Holy Spirit that enables us to speak the word with conviction and with truth and with love. And so I want you to get away from that fear and say, wait a minute, I have the Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit that was empowering Peter is the same Holy Spirit that can empower me to be a witness. And so let's look at what takes place in verse 14. Remember the scene. They're preaching in different languages. People are like scratching their head. They're perplexed. They're wondering what is going on. And then other people are mocking. They're mocking what is taking place. So verse 14, it says this. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. Okay, let's stop there. Who stands up and preaches? Peter. So this is significant. This is a huge thing that Peter is the one standing up and preaching, because Pastor Ethan talked about this a couple weeks ago. It's this same Peter that 50 days, just a month and a half earlier, was with Jesus, and they were in another upper room. And in this upper room, they were having the Passover meal, and Jesus is teaching them and explaining things to them, washing feet. And then he says, hey, the Son of Man is going to be betrayed, and all of you are going to abandon me. And Peter says, not me. All these other losers may, but not me. And Jesus says, Peter, I tell you the truth, before the night's over, you're going to deny me three times. He goes, no way, I would go to the death for you. So he's got boldness there. And then they go pray. Judas comes with these men. They arrest Jesus, and every one of the disciples run away. Everyone, including Peter. Peter comes back, but he's watching from a distance. He's watching the trial. He's watching the mockery against Jesus. He's watching the intimidation against Jesus. He's watching what Jesus is going through, and he's watching from a distance. And he's watching behind a little fire, and he's hiding, and a little teenage girl comes up to him and goes, aren't you one of Jesus' followers? I know I had a teenage girl. They can be intimidating. I'm telling you. And so whatever, I'm not putting any doubt on a teenage girl, man. Don't mess with a teenage girl. I'm just saying. But this teenage girl says, aren't you a follower of Jesus? And he's like, no. And then somebody else, no. Somebody else, no. Three times. He's embarrassed. He's afraid. He denies Jesus three times. And the rooster crows. And Pastor Ethan did a great job with the sermon kind of comparing Judas and Jesus, Peter, both failed, but Peter returned, and Judas took matters in his own hands. And how God can restore those. God can restore those who fail. And so when we're talking about living sent, that, man, God is calling me to share the gospel with others. We can easily look at our past and say, I am not qualified. We can even look like Peter and say, man, just a couple days ago, I denied him. And we can make a list of why we can't. Say, I'm not able, I disqualify myself, I got drunk again, or I looked at porn again, I did this again, and so therefore, I cannot be, and we disqualify ourselves from God ever using us. And I want you to look at some of the heroes in the Old Testament. Heroes that we look at and say, man, they were used mightily by God, of how sinful they were. Moses, we just talked about Moses. Moses killed a guy and didn't do a good job covering it up. He like threw him in the sand and went, nothing to see here. And then he goes on the run, and 40 years later, God speaks to him and says, I want you to go back to Israel. And he's like, no way. And he gives five excuses why he can't go back, but God uses Moses. And then you got Noah, who was a drunk. You have all these people who were failures after failures after failures, yet God picks them and uses. I mean, think of David. David was a man after God's own heart. David committed adultery and then tried to cover it up by bringing in one of his mighty fighting man and say, hey, go sleep with your wife. And he's like, no, I won't do it. And so he sends Uriah on the mission and tells everybody to back off, and Uriah gets killed in battle. I'm telling you, none of these guys would make it on staff at New Life Fellowship. They would not pass the background check. And I'm saying this, that if David was on staff, I ain't letting him along with Bev. And if David says, hey, Dane, I need you to go do something, I'm like, no way, man, I ain't going nowhere, you know? The guy was messed up, but God uses messed up people. Oh, isn't that awesome? That every one of us in here are messed up, but God can use us. And he wants to use us. He wants to empower us with the Holy Spirit to go out and proclaim the gospel. And so Peter stands up and speaks. Then the next thing I want you to see is who stands with him. He stands with the 11. That's the first time I saw that was this week. I always think Peter getting up and he's preaching and all the other guys are kind of in the background. They're not. They're standing with Peter. That this live sent life, to be a Christian, is not to do it by yourself. That's why life groups are so important. That's why being in fellowship with one another is so important. That's why accountability is so important. We are to stand with one another. If you are trying to do this Christian life all on your own, you're doing it wrong. You need to be in fellowship with one another. You need to be in a group with men, be in a Bible study group with other men, women, get in a Bible study group with other women, join a life group, join a support group. Do this together. Listen, all the guys in that group, all the gals that are in that group, they're all messed up just like you. No one's perfect. And you make good in that group and think, these people are messed up. And you're like, yeah, they are. And so are you. But the Holy Spirit can use and empower and make that a beautiful, beautiful thing. So stand with one another. So he stands up with the 11 and he's like, pay attention. I got something to say. And then he begins to preach. And it's the very first Christian sermon we read in the book of Acts. And what he does, and this is the most important thing, is he preaches the word. Always go back to the word. Always go back to the word. So he starts off by saying, hey, these guys are not drunk. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. So he starts by that, by saying that, let's see. But Peter, standing with 11, lifted a voice. Go to the verse 15, if you can. For these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. It's like 9 in the morning. And so he defends the church. He defends his brothers. Listen, a lot of people today say Christians shouldn't go out defending against lies. Yes, you should. You are to stand upon truth. Defend your brothers. If somebody's lying against your brother or sister in Christ, you need to defend them. Don't allow the lie to continue. Stand up and say, this is not true. If someone is defying the church or a pastor or somebody else, man, don't take that. You are to defend a brother or a sister who is in Christ. And so Peter defends the church, and then he begins to preach the word, and he goes back to the prophet Joel, and he begins to proclaim what the prophet Joel spoke about this day. So I know you're all familiar with the prophet Joel, but for those who are not, that one or two of you in this room, let me explain to you what is taking place in the prophet Joel. Prophet Joel was a prophet 500 to 800 years before this event. And he begins to, he's God's mouthpiece to the people of Israel. And what was taking place in the people of Israel is they were rebelling against God. And Joel is calling the people to repentance. He's saying, you need to repent. And he speaks of two invasions that are taking place in the nation of Israel. The first invasion that is taking place in the nation of Israel was an invasion of locusts that was coming against the harvest of the people. And that the locust was devastating everything, their wheat fields, everything. There was this influctuation of locusts devastating thing. And Joel says, you guys need to repent. And then in chapter 2, there was another invasion that was coming against the nation of Israel. And this was an army, a physical army. He calls it a locust too, but it was an actual man army coming against the nation of Israel to ensnare them, to entrap them, to seize them. And it's in this context that Joel speaks up and he begins to preach about there's going to be a time, there's going to be a last days event where the Holy Spirit will come upon all people who call upon the name of the Lord. The Holy Spirit will come upon them. It won't be just for prophets like Joel. It won't just be for kings. It won't be just for a certain privileged people. It will be available for all people in the last days. And so up into Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit came upon people, it was for one person, for one time, and one event where God would come upon a person and they would prophesy or speak what God wants them to speak. And it was for that people at that time for event. Now in Acts 2, the Holy Spirit's come upon all those who call upon the name of the Lord. And this is what Peter begins to preach and he begins to explain to them. So let's read it. And I want you to see two things that Peter talks about the end times. There's two things. The first thing is what is taking place then and is still taking place today. And then the last part is what will take place in the end times. Okay? You with me on that? Okay, two of you. All right, here we go. So Peter gets up and preaches, and he says this, verse 16. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heavens and heavens above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So this is huge. What this is, again, prophesied 800 years before what's taking place now. And so Peter gets up and says, this is a fulfillment of what Joel talked about. It is the last days. It's like the door is now open and the last days has entered the room. He says, this is the last days, and there's certain things that are going to take place in the last days, that the Holy Spirit will come upon all flesh, will come upon people. And it's not just the kings, it's not just certain men, or certain things, on all who call upon the name of the Lord, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and you will be able to do a couple things. Prophesy is number one. And prophecy is, a lot of times in the Old Testament, prophecy has to do with future event things. But today, prophecy is just proclaiming the word of God. You're proclaiming God's word. This is what Peter's doing right now. I'm proclaiming the word of God. Joel, he is prophesying. And so, and the prophecy is not just for certain people. It's for male and female. It's for slaves and free. It's for rich and poor. It's for young and old, all people. That the Holy Spirit will empower them to proclaim the word of God, to preach the word of God. In other words, the Holy Spirit comes upon us to empower us to live sent, to reach our one mores, to proclaim, to preach. And then the Holy Spirit comes upon them, and they're able to have dreams and visions. And we see this today, especially in countries that the gospel is not readily available, that people have dreams of Jesus, visions of Jesus, and they wake up from these dreams, wake up from these visions, and surrender their lives to Jesus because there's no word of God there, but they have these dreams and visions. It's an amazing thing. But I also believe that these dreams and visions are for us today, that God gives you a dream, that God gives you a vision for your life. God gives you a dream for your kids. God gives you a vision and dream for your work and your ministry, that God inspires you and gives you, here's the direction I want you to go. This is what I've been doing the last 3 weeks for us as a church. God, give me dreams. Give me visions for us as New Life Fellowship. What is it that you want us to do? Where do you want us to go? And he gives us this dream, this vision for the future. And so it's not only a dream and vision of seeing Jesus, but it's a dream and vision of what God calls all of us to and towards and wants us to empower us by his Holy Spirit. It's awesome, right? Yeah. And it's not just for certain people, it's for all. It's for all. So the door is open and enters into the last days. And in the last days, this first thing that's taking place is the power of the Holy Spirit coming upon people. They're prophesying. They have dreams. They have vision. But then there's the second part of the last days. Did you see it? Where the description is pretty incredible, is it not? And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs on earth below. Blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness, the moon to blood, before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. Is that not significant? It's huge. So if the door was open and enters in the last days during Peter's time, we are now 2,000 years past. How much closer are we to that part? We're real close. We're real close to the end of the last days, where God is going to come in a supernatural way, supernatural power, and in events where he is not going to come as a baby in a manger and angels in the sky saying, glory, glory in the highest, and only a few witness. But Revelation tells us that Jesus is going to return, and he's going to return with power, and he's going to return with a sword out of his mouth, and he's going to return and bring judgment. Now, you know me. I'm not a scare tactic pastor, but this is reality, that we are living in the last days, and we are closer to that time of where Jesus is going to return, and he's going to bring judgment, people. And I hope he comes on a Sunday morning to really to separate who's really, truly following him. And some of us will be in shock. We think we're right with God, but we're not. Jesus says this. There's going to be so many on that day who say, I did this in your name. I said this in your name. And I did this in your name. And he says, I don't know you. This is a wake-up call, people. This is a wake-up call that we are near that. If you're sitting in here thinking, well, I got time, do you? Do you have time? We need to wake up and call upon Jesus. No more games. No more just religion. I went to church today. I'm good. No, you're not. You did a nice thing. It's calling upon the name of the Lord. Listen, Jesus is going to return, and he's going to return with his army of angels. He's going to return, and he's wearing white. Who wears white to a fight? Somebody who's going to win. Right? And he's going to come, and he's going to judge the earth. Are your hearts right? Are you right before God today? Have you called upon his name? Have you surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ? Not religion, but you're walking in relationship with Jesus Christ. Oh, it's the most important thing. He transforms us, and you should never follow Jesus out of fear, but you follow him out of love. But I'm telling you, there is a time that is coming, and he's going to come and judge. Are you right before him? Are you standing before him? And this is what Peter is preaching. And it's what we read in verse 21. And it came to pass that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The prophet Joel is saying this 800 years before this. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord, the name Lord is Yahweh. Whoever calls upon Yahweh shall be saved. Later on in the sermon, Peter repeats it, but he says this, whoever calls upon the name of Jesus will be saved. And so what Peter does is he says, yeah, Joel said Yahweh, but I'm telling you, Yahweh is Jesus. Whoever calls upon the name of Jesus will be saved. So my question is, have you done that? We need to call upon Jesus. He's the only, we just sing a song, there's only one name. There's only one way, Jesus Christ. It's calling upon the name of Jesus. So two things I want to challenge you with as we close up today and the team's coming back. Two things I want to challenge you with is first, if you have done that, are you living sent? Are you living under the power of the Holy Spirit to tell the one person in your life that you love about Jesus? You are empowered by the Holy Spirit. The same power that enabled Peter to speak up is the same power that's in you. The same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells in your heart if you said yes to Jesus. So live sent. And then second is, have you called upon his name? Are you living for Jesus Christ? Have you surrendered your life to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Have you said yes? Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so let's do that now. Why not? Man, the Holy Spirit is what draws us to God. And so maybe the Holy Spirit is drawing you right now. Maybe you're feeling, man, Holy Spirit's just drawing me into that. I need that. That's God working in your heart. Our response is say yes. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Jesus. So would you just bow your heads in prayer with me? And if it's you that the Holy Spirit is drawing, speaking to your heart, would you just say this prayer in your own words? Just pray this along with me. Jesus, I need you. Come into my life. Come into my heart. I don't want to be the same person. I want to walk with you. I want to be in fellowship with you. I want to be in relationship with you. Forgive me my sins and make me a new person, I pray. Thank you, Jesus. And Lord, I pray right now for those who are following you, that you would empower them by your Holy Spirit today, that they would be on mission for the glory of God to share the gospel to everyone they come in contact with. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And would you stand with me? If you said yes to Jesus, if you prayed that prayer, man, we want to walk with you. We have a Next Steps class that meets every Sunday at 9 o'clock. It talks about who Jesus is, why Jesus had to die, how to pray, how to read your Bible. Just four little things to help you in your walk. Go to that class. It'll benefit you greatly. We also have a I Said Yes pamphlet that is available for everyone who said yes to Jesus. It's a devotional that helps you walk with the Lord. It's at our Welcome Center. Stop by and say, hey, can I grab that? And it's yours. If you have a Bible, grab a Bible. We have one for you. And let's journey together through this. But let's close with this song.